we present Teddy Johnson as Steve Gardner in The Candle of Darkness, a serial thriller in six parts by Edward Boyd. The Candle of Darkness, Part 3.
One day I went to a quiet little seaside village to lure an old friend back to the wicked city. And nothing happened. Well, nothing much. He didn't want to come back for the weird reason that he thought his father was the homicidal maniac who was terrorizing the town. No, nothing happened. Well, there was a kooky doll called Lindy, and a dead poet who still gave poetry readings, and a horrible servant in my friend's house who went through my baggage like a self-appointed customs type. And just what did you hope to find in there, Delia? Delia knelt there watching me. Her red, repulsive face was slick with sweat. Even across the room, you could tell what her favorite deodorant was. None. And whatever made her face red, it was certainly not shame.
Never heard you coming in.
That's a risk thieves have to take.
Are you calling me a thief?
Only till I can think of something worse. What were you after? Or were you just window shopping?
I was just putting your things away.
That I can well believe.
Mr. Morton told me to...
Jimmy did?
Yes. No.
His father?
Both of them. They both told me.
You're a liar, Delia.
All right, ask them.
I'll do just that.
See if they dare deny it.
Dare?
That's what I said.
I know. And I find it very interesting. Get out!
You can't talk to me like...
Get out, you sleazy, insolent, dim-witted layabout, you...
Don't you touch me!
Touch you... Get out!
You'll be sorry for this.
What's all this?
This fancy Englishman thinks he's taking over.
All right, Delia, that's enough.
Oh, is it? That's what you think.
Be quiet, Delia. What's the trouble, Steve?
I caught her going through my baggage.
Delia!
And she seems confident that nothing will be done about it.
You told me to, didn't you, Jimmy?
Well, Jimmy? I've heard of democracy, but this is ridiculous.
Well, I told her to lay out your things, and if anything needed washing...
Do me a favor. What is this, a stately home?
Throw him out, Jimmy. Go and throw him out. It's your house.
Well, Jimmy?
It's your house, Jimmy.
No, Delia. It's your house. Oh, I'm sorry about this, Mr. Gardner.
It's only a slight misunderstanding, Father. It's easily settled.
Oh? And how do you propose to settle it, Jimmy?
Well, I...
Do we ask your friend and our guest to apologize to Delia for catching her red-handed?
Look, Mr. Morton, I'll clear out. I'm sorry I've caused this trouble.
Oh, the trouble was here long before you came, Gardner.
Father.
I tried to ignore it. I tried to buy it off. I tried everything except facing it. But now...
Now what?
You have 15 minutes to get out of this house, Delia.
Yeah, joking.
15 minutes.
You must be mad.
On the contrary, I'm having my first lucid interval for years.
Father, let's not be hasty.
Another thing, Delia. These pearls you're wearing, they belong to my wife. You have absolutely no right to have them in your possession, and even less right to wear them.
You'll get them back. I'll give you them back. Oh, here.
You've broken the string.
Oh, break more than the string. I'll stop.
You filthy...
Morton, for heaven's sake.
Father, you'll kill her.
Let her go, Morton.
Father, let her go.
It tried to strangle me.
Take her away. Take her away.
It tried to...
Get out, you fool, while you can.
Oh, he tried to strangle me.
I'm sorry about all this, Gardner. The first rule of hospitality is skeletons should be kept firmly in their cupboards.
Well, when you've got a skeleton as robust as Delia...
Quite. I suppose you must start thinking about getting another girl.
Perhaps I could be of some assistance there.
You know of someone?
I think so.
No, I don't care what she is, as long as she's honest.
This one is honest to a fault.
Well, there are plenty of faults here for her to be honest too.
Of course, there's no guarantee she'll be interested.
Yeah, I should be obliged if you would ask her anyway.
I'll ask her.
This girl of yours...
Correction, this girl I spoke about.
Are you sure?
You're asking, is she part of some deep, dark plot I'm hatching?
Well, is she?
Oh, for heaven's sake, Jimmy, you're becoming paranoiac.
You're a pretty tricky boy, Steve.
Yeah, I'm tricky. I'm the trickiest. I set up Delia to go through my baggage. I set it up for you to come along just when I'm bawling her out. And then I fix it for your father to appear and fire her. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, I've got this other bird lined up to take over from Delia and be my spy. Or whatever the hell you think she is. Look, Jimmy, this is a local bird. I only met her this morning.
What's her name?
Lindy Marshall. And if you say the word, she'll never even know there was a situation vacant here. You don't want anyone else in the house, do you?
There could be reasons for that.
That's your problem. Mine is this girl. What's it to be, Jimmy? Yes or no?
My father's head of this house. I only haunt it.
Oh, come on, Where do I find a telephone?
There's a booth just round the corner to the left.
Thank you. Petty larceny, attempted strangulation, recrimination, self-pity, delusions of reference. When you're wheeling and dealing, sometimes you earn your money hard. I found the telephone booth and dialed the little cafe. Marco agreed gloomily that yes, he was Marco, and yes, as it happened, she was there and he would call her to the phone.
Hello?
Lindy?
Yes. Who is this?
Steve Gardner. We met this morning.
Yes, I remember.
I found your job.
What kind of a job?
Housekeeper.
You're joking, of course.
No.
And who do I keep house for? You?
You don't trust me one tiny bit, do you?
Well, you're a big London boy and I'm only a simple country girl. Now tell me who I keep house for.
The Mortons.
They've already got a housekeeper, Delia Dewar.
She's just been bombed out. Fancy the job?
Talk me into it.
Well, to begin with, they need you more than you need them.
Big deal.
No kidding. It's time there was some light and colour in that mausoleum.
You're a con man.
They'll probably pay more than the labour exchange.
Better.
They'll keep you off the street corners.
I'll miss them.
Come on, Lindy, what do you say?
Why not?
Great. You know where the house is?
Oh, come off it.
Right, come straight over now. I got back in the house in time to catch Delia's farewell performance. She came downstairs slowly in time to inaudible music. She was dressed in what the well-dressed woman would never wear any year. The whole thing seemed a grotesque burlesque of a musical comedy finale.
What are you all staring at?
There should have been a roll on the drums.
You're a wise guy, aren't you, Mr. Flaming Gardner? You know all the answers. Pride yourself on knowing them. But maybe you don't know all the questions. Maybe there's a few you should ask your friends, the Mortons.
Look, do we have to go
ask
through?
Ask them what happened to that souvenir dagger Jimmy brought home from Korea. Ask them who took it off the wall and where it is now. Ask them what took them both out at night when decent people should have been in bed. Ask them about the night Jimmy came in with blood in his hands. Ask them what they know about the kind man.
You've done your bit now, Delia. I think you'd better go.
Oh, I'm going. Don't worry. But don't think you're throwing me out. I'm walking out of here on my own free will. And I'm going to better things.
Delia.
What do you want?
I want to congratulate you on moving on to better things. And to warn you.
Warn me?
Against shouting from the housetops.
That's the truth.
Perhaps, as you see it.
I don't understand that.
Then perhaps you will understand this. You are an orphan, Delia. I know that better than most people. I took you from the orphanage. in a moment of sentimentality which I've often since regretted. Also, Delia, you were friendless. I don't think I've ever met anyone who was more friendless.
What are you saying?
This. If the newspapers are to be believed, our unknown maniac has a very definite predilection for the orphaned and the friendless. He considers himself to have a mission. He sees the killing of such people as an act of grace and mercy. He is cruel, only to be kind.
You're threatening me.
No, Delia, I'm simply pointing out that you are perfect material for the kind man. And if I were you, once I had left the protection of this house, I would make myself very, very inconspicuous.
Yes, Mr. Merton. Yes, I promise you. Oh, let me out. Please let me out.
I'm sorry, I didn't find that funny.
No, I suppose not. It wouldn't have seemed funny to me either a short time ago. But I was blind then. I still am, to a certain extent. I would...
Know what?
I think I know who this is.
Who?
Delia's successor. Hello, Lindy.
Hello.
Come on in. Mr. Morton's in here. This is Lindy Marshall.
I understand you want to come and work here.
No.
But I thought...
Steve said there was a job, so I thought there's no harm in looking. Okay, so I'm looking. That's all.
Don't do us any favours, please.
I won't. This place pongs.
You know, I think I'm going to enjoy having you around here.
You mean she's actually coming here?
If she decides she wants to.
Well, that's ridiculous.
Oh, the house is equally ridiculous.
If you don't like the idea, Jimmy, you could always move out. Say, back to London.
The hell with you, Steve.
Charming.
You may do as you please with the house, my dear.
All of it?
Not quite. The top part I keep locked up.
I heard about that.
No doubt what you heard was greatly exaggerated. And no doubt you thought it was extremely romantic.
I thought it was daft.
No?
She always sparks like that when anyone tries to pat her on the head.
Sorry, I can't help it. It's like standing on a cat, sort of.
I see. Well, as I was saying, I do not wish the top rooms disturbed. Not quite yet. Not quite yet.
Well, it looks like I'm lumbered.
You can still cut and run.
Oh, no. Who does that Jimmy think he is? Hamlet?
He'll come round.
And this Bluebeard's chamber
bit. I shouldn't worry too much about that either.
We never got round to talking about money, did we?
I think you'll find the old man fairly generous.
Well, if I do as well as Delia, you won't find me complaining.
You reckon she did well?
I met her coming along the road and she was carrying a handbag worth about 40 guineas.
Well, now, isn't that interesting? I left her there and went out into the town. The darkness was gathering septically, moving through the streets like poison through veins. Cats sleeked through the boneless dark, seeking familiars. Vampire bats hung folded in each suspicious eyelid. The streets were paved with tombstones, and every tree was a gallows tree.
I feel rather that way myself.
What? Inspector Gordon, I presume. You almost frightened me out of my wits.
Quite an achievement.
This rotten town's getting under my skin.
Well, then why do you stay?
I have a soul to save.
Highly commendable. I have a feeling tonight that I could well do without.
It's his kind of night, isn't it?
Inside information?
Look here, Gordon.
Easy now, easy. You're chumpy.
The whole town is.
Well, they're worried. They're worried because the kind man has not been kind for too long.
Excuse me. Excuse me.
Yes, what can we do for you, madam?
I didn't mean to stay out so late, but I got chatting, and you know how the time slips by.
Oh, I do indeed.
And before I knew, it was dusk, and Then it was pitch black, and here I'm caught out in it. And my friend lives by herself, and short of convoying each other back and forwards all night, we didn't rightly know what to do. And then my friend looked out of the window and saw that there were two of you, and she said to me, Belle, there's your chance.
Safety in numbers, eh?
It's a wrong kind of a night.
So, you would like one of us to escort you home, eh?
Not one of you. Both of you.
Oh, well, that, Madame Margaret, is impossible.
Well, then I'll just go back to my friend.
Oh, no. Wait a minute. My name is Gordon. I'm Inspector Gordon. And I'm in charge of the investigations into the...
Don't say it.
Very well, I won't. But what I will say is that this gentleman here is a Mr. Gardner from London, and he has only been in this town for about 48 hours.
Oh, I see.
Now, madam, the way I feel at this moment, I wouldn't be at all surprised if I turned out to be the kind man.
Oh.
But one thing I do know. Mr. Gardner is perhaps a solitary person in this town who most definitely is not.
I beg your pardon. Both of you.
Oh, we understand. Gardner, would you escort this lady to her home?
With the greatest pleasure.
You're very kind.
Not at all. Shall we go?
Please.
Good night.
We set off through the cloaked streets, walking slowly. She clung to my arm, weighing no more than a thread on my sleeve. She didn't speak. Perhaps she was still not sure of me. Perhaps she was still thinking that the night was somehow wrong. The night was wrong. The town was a black desert, starred with desperate lights. A forlorn, unbought smell drifted from the fried fish shop. The salt air was clammy. The sea was silent. Finally, we reached the old lady's house. There we are.
You'll come in for a minute.
Well, that's kind of you.
Ah, the fire's blazing fine. A fire's company, don't you think?
Definitely.
Sit you down.
Thank you.
You've something to do with television, I hear.
Television?
My granddaughter was telling me. She works in the county library.
Oh, yes, of course. Oh, she was very helpful.
She said you were... What was her word now? Sexy, that's what it was.
She certainly needs those glasses.
Oh, not her. I can appreciate her description. I mean to say, I'm only 77.
Impossible.
No, 77 it is. I hear you were asking about Francis Lennox.
Yes, I was.
I taught him at school.
You were a teacher?
I was, over 40 years. And I taught Francis Lennox, and his father before him.
Tell me about Lennox.
He was the handsomest boy you ever saw. He was brilliant. And as brave as a lion.
Teacher's pet?
I detested the sight of him.
Oh, for a minute there, you had me fooled.
Uh-huh. I haven't learned much from life, but one thing I have learned, never trust perfection.
And what was perfect about Lennox?
His selfishness. It was so perfect, it had a kind of terrifying beauty. He would lie, cheat, flatter, whine, bully, scream to get whatever he wanted. And when he got it, like as not, he'd break it and throw it away.
What else?
There was always something odd about Francis. He wasn't a Lennox at all. I knew his grandfather and his father, the whole family. But Francis was different in every way.
Heredity sometimes does that.
Oh, it does. When you're a teacher as long as I was, you develop a kind of instinct about families. And I always felt that Francis was never a Lennox. That's his picture over there.
Oh, yes.
It was taken the year he won the Butte Scholarship.
Oh, that's odd.
What is?
I could swear I've seen him somewhere before.
If you'd ever met Francis Lennox, you'd be in no doubt. Oh, I'm sorry. It's getting near my bedtime.
Yes, and I'll be on my way.
Now, I didn't offer you tea, because tea I do not consider a man's drink. And secondly, because I wanted to ask you another small favour.
You name it.
Do you know Hughie McInnes's pub?
I was in there this morning.
Well, in you go again. And tell Hughie that his auntie's safe home, and it was you convoyed her, and it is to give you a dram for your trouble.
There were only three men in the bar. Romilly Foster, crimson and huge like an alcoholic sunset. On one side of him, a little man, erect only by a special dispensation of gravity. On the other, a dark, sullen man, a neat gypsy. You knew as soon as you saw him he was an old soldier. The scrounging type that's good to have beside you in a war. The scrounging type that's untranslatable in terms of a world at peace. Romilly Foster caught sight of me as I opened the door.
Gardener! My ironical friend, come to me arms.
Man, you're certainly feeling no pain.
You drop into the desert of my life with the grateful munificence of manner.
I dropped in to collect a freight charge of one dram for bringing Hughie McInnes's aunt home.
Hughie! A dram and a tankard of celebration for me.
Right away, Miss Foster.
Gardener, all night I have been casting pearls before swine, blunting my undoubted flashing wits against these Lilliputian ferrets.
Most good of a man is, eh, man?
He lies in his teeth. For one small hour tonight, I raised him from the gutter, whither he is now minded to return, to root and snort nostalgically.
So dead, lover.
This other swarthy hound is Bill Williams, whom I tolerate, because it inflates my ego to have a hound that savages everyone but me.
An old soldier, eh?
You're an amazing chap, Gardner. How did you know?
They never lose the smell of metal polish.
Who's this blabbermouth?
A friend of mine.
Tell him to get lost.
My saturnine fife and drum friend, you forget yourself. Whilst, if I were you, I would willingly court a similar oblivion. Nevertheless...
I was telling him.
Nevertheless, let your voice click its heels respectfully when you address yourself to me. Otherwise, I may extract the 29 tangled feet of your intestines and weave them with a pastoral horridness through the seaweedy thread of your hair.
He's a boy who can do it, too.
No offense meant.
The dog has come to heel. Your drink, Gardner.
Cheers.
Cheers. You and I, Gardner, are the only two men in this town tonight who are unafraid.
Hooray for us.
Where's our song?
Pack it in, Mac.
Sing as I sleep. We'll even cast you by the light of the moon. We'll sail in by night and by day.
Well, there's one can still we'll sing.
He is panic-stricken, utterly panic-stricken.
Don't you find that interesting,
Gardner? Not very.
You'll have the bogeys in.
Not at all. Collars is all too busy this night. Out looking for a man. A kind man.
Shut up.
Williams is frightened, too. He hides his fear as a dog hides a bone in a dark garden.
Two chills of hopes coming down a happy valley. Here the gunner. Pull him in drunk. Pull him out dead. Spam metal and Atlantic star.
He feeds like a camel on the hump of his past courage.
You find all this fascinating, don't you?
Fascinating. Don't you?
I can take it or leave it.
There was a dog howling earlier tonight. The sound infuriated me. It was a vulgar, flashy, cliché of a sound. It spoiled the fine, pure, choking, secret fear that made each man hate his neighbor.
This is a sick town.
The little houses, stiff and paralyzed, like rabbits awaiting the stoat. And inside, rows of benched, blenched people, death's outpatients.
I remember something like this once before. A small town in Florida. There was a hurricane coming.
I think I'll get along the frog.
Frog and toad, rhyming with road. Neat, isn't it?
Yeah. Before you go, Williams.
Well?
I'd like to ask you something.
See my lawyer.
I smell a smell of no love lost.
Did you know Francis Lennox in the army?
I knew a lot of blokes.
You can keep them all except Francis Lennox.
Come, come, man. Enough of this virginal reticence.
I knew him.
Did you know him well?
Well enough.
What happened to him?
He died.
How did he die?
What's it to you?
How did he die, Williams? Tell me that. How did Francis Lennox die?
Somebody fell in the door.
It's a girl. She's been stabbed.
Lindy!
That was the third part of The Candle of Darkness, a serial thriller by Edward Boyd. The production was by Eddie Fraser.
And so it looks like the kind man has struck again. Can Lindy shed any light on the identity of the killer, or is it already too late? We'll find out tomorrow in part four. Teddy Johnson was Steve Gardner, Effie Morrison, Delia, Jimmy Logan, Jimmy Morton, Leonard Maguire, Wilfred, Hannah Gordon, Lindy Marshall, Moultrie R. Kelsall, Detective Inspector Gordon, Jean Taylor Smith, the old lady, Douglas Murchie, Romany Foster, Phil McCall was the drunk, and Glenn Michael was Bill Williams.